Recently, two different high schools here in the Valley, Hamilton High in Chandler and Mountain Ridge High in Glendale, have had serious allegations of sexual assault surface stemming from hazing rituals. Both happened through involvement in boys' sports, one wrestling, one football, and resulted in the alleged criminal hazing incidents that have so far seen three Hamilton High School students arrested.
The fact that two similar stories have emerged from two different schools made us reach out to a nationally recognized hazing expert for a deeper conversation about young men and this type of violent behavior. How does a culture that allows hazing form in the first place? And what does a school district need to do to make sure it stops? To answer that, we're joined for a few minutes by Hank Neuer, a professor at Franklin College and the author of four books on hazing. Hank, welcome. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So especially with all the effort and awareness that's being raised about bullying generally these days, what makes this kind of behavior persist, especially as it relates to, in this case, guys on the same team?
In a way, it comes down to a very simplistic level for the young men themselves as to very cheap entertainment. And for the victim, it's horrific. It's not only the actions that occur at that time in a hotel room or on the bus or in the locker room, but then it's broadcast often via YouTube, at least briefly, and discussed on Facebook and other social media. That part of it seems to gratify teenagers who are looking for a larger public acclaim for what they're putting out there.
I don't want to take us too far off track, but one thing that came to mind for me when I was a young man is you see a lot of boys when we're involved in athletics together, where they feel as though, I don't want to say they're homophobic, but gay is a weird thing. You know, we're young and then it seems like some of this behavior actually seems to mimic in a more violent way, almost sort of homoerotic behavior. Is there something deeper going on there?
I think you've said it accurately, and I was interviewed by an ESPN producer who briefly had witnessed when he was in prep school a young man being sodomized in a hazing with a pencil. It wasn't the perpetrator who was called gay by the others, but that nickname was associated with the victim. There's something almost, you're almost thinking primates and not human beings when you're looking at this behavior, and it's that it's actually approved by other members of the high school team is very, very traumatic. And I think it's really kind of interesting that I've been writing about this since 1976. The very first sexual assault that wound up in a court was in Nogales, Arizona, with the baseball team. Two coaches going on trial but being exonerated, at least not guilty. And so the sexual assaults that I'm tracking started in Arizona in 82.
So I wonder, though, if you look at this from the victim's point of view or from the reaction to these sorts of events, do you think there's still an attitude of, you know, boys will be boys in cases like this, even after there might be criminal charges? Do you think, like, the perception of a victim who may be assaulted during a hazing incident is different than, say, like a woman who's assaulted on a college campus or something like that?
Yeah, I think the whole idea of the groupthink that's going on at a team has a factor there. The victim is told over and over by others, well, we went through this, and coaches are always saying, if you can't play with pain, you can't play. You've got to be tough out there. There's a different attitude of after something like this happens, of being embraced by other team members who are trying to assure you that it's no big deal, as opposed to a young woman, let's say, or a young male being attacked in a rape situation where there's absolutely no support unless maybe it comes from a parent or another friend.
What are the warning signs that this behavior might be going on? So in cases like where we have two high schools, two hazing incidents, sexual assault involved, what might parents or administrators do when there might be signs that a team is heading in this direction?
The first and foremost, because that's where I get my stories, is to talk to alumni. The people, especially who've been graduated a year or two. I'll be doing a case at the college level in North Carolina this summer, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Talk to the people who weren't charged, who graduated before. That's one thing. Almost having an exit interview with all the teams in view of how rampant this particular problem is. Number two, there's usually threats, and ahead of time, we're going to get you at this point. Wait until you get to freshman camp when we're camping out, or wait until we have our first away game. You have to have players who are rookies, for example, first-year players, given the right to go to a coach and know that they will be heard. There's too often, I think, part of the problem, that all the coaches are not faculty members. And all those coaches may have gone through hazing, not this bad. And what they see in their mind in hazing is not people being penetrated with objects or fingers. And education programs are critical and really important.
Hank, really briefly, do hazing, anti-hazing laws need to be stronger in Arizona and other states?
Arizona as well, yes. We've got a possibility of a law being passed in New Mexico, which would make it 45 states. I'd tell you that only Florida and Texas have very strong laws.
Hank Neuer is a professor at Franklin College and the author of four books on hazing. Hank, thank you for the time today.
Thank you very much for having me.